Psalm chapter number 3 tonight. Psalm chapter 3. How many like to sing? I didn't say if you're a good singer. You just like to sing. Huh? You like to sing? Rest of you folks don't? Maybe we ought to go to Ephesians where it's talking about if you're full of the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to have a song. There's going to be songs there. And you might not be a good singer, but there's that joy that comes from music. It's a blessed thing. So we come to the book of Psalms, and these are songs, if you please. And it's amazing. Many of these have been put to music in our time. They were sung in that time. Many believe somewhat of a chant-like thing. And the Jews had rap music before we did. But they sang these. And it was a tremendous help. There's one little point I want to show with you tonight that is really, really neat, I think. But let's look here. I'm going to read these eight verses. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you. First of all, thank you for these testimonies, how encouraging to hear how you've worked and blessed in hearts. And I pray tonight that you would just speak to us. And as we go from this place tonight, we might say it was good to be in the house of the Lord, and that you would be the one who's honored by our lives tomorrow throughout the rest of the week. And oh God, we might realize that we are missionaries here in this locality. And put souls in our way. Give us a heart for them, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you look at the very first there, between where it says Psalm 3 and the very first verse, I don't know how it's labeled in your Bible, but it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. We are immediately from that little phrase introduced to the time and the setting of this particular psalm. So we go back to the time that Absalom, his son, betrayed him. Absalom came against his father. He had been working and dealing with people in Israel, and he'd been winning them over to himself, and many things that he did in that regard. And now he's coming against his own father in seeking to establish a throne for himself. There's a little book I would encourage you to get a hold of sometime. I wish I could tell you the author's name. I have one on my shelf. I've read it. It's a tremendous book. But it's The Tale of Three Kings. And it talks about King Saul, King David, and King Absalom. And what it talks about is how David handled those who were in position of kingship and how God worked in his behalf. It'd be well for you to find that book. You can go online, I'm sure, and probably find that. But we find that God had entrusted David with many, many people, with a nation, and yet we find that many of these, maybe most of them, had turned against him. Now, there's a lot of similarities in this particular psalm between this anointed king of Israel, David, and what we could call the last anointed king of Israel, who would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we make illustrations like that, or we bring those things together, we sometimes call these a messianic psalm. It's that which is portraying a few things about the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that both of them fled from Jerusalem. They crossed the brook Kidron because of their enemies. We find that on the night of his betrayal with the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that as we read about how this took place for David in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is. With both of them was a small band of men who were very, very trustworthy and sought for the good of their master. This particular psalm, I believe, can divide itself into four categories, if you please. It's like a quiver of arrows, arrows that are all made for an appointed target, but each one of them singular, and yet they are bound together. And so we find some things here, I believe, in this psalm, I hope was of help to you tonight. In verses 1 and 2, you have David making a complaint to God concerning his enemies. I'm sure tonight, if you have some problems, you complain to God too. You never find God really coming back at him on this. God's willing to accept those complaints. Then we find in verses 3 and 4, and we will review this again, he declares his confidence in the Lord. And then in verses 5 and 6, he sings of his safety in sleep. We'll look at that again, but I find it remarkable that as he's fleeing, he's able to sleep. He's not awake with worry. And then the last two verses, I believe, is that which strengthens himself for future conflict. So let's look here tonight. Verses 1 and 2, his complaint. His complaint. And let's read these two once again. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. His enemies were increasing, making it seem really impossible. Aren't you glad that God's not the God of the impossible, but of the possible? 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, it says, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilethite knight, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. It was a growing thing that David is facing. And there's been many times in your life and my life, we see the rain come, but have you noticed when it rains, so often it pours. And so often there's one thing, and then there's another, and there's something else. And it almost seems like deliverance is so distant. It's a place where we can go into despair and hopelessness. And all we have, we need to cry out to God. We find that speaks here in verse number two, it says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. If you remember, when David is fleeing, they've crossed over that brook, and they come to a little knoll, and there's a fellow by the name of Shimei. And Shimei is there cursing him, and I believe he's reminding him of his open sin with Bathsheba, for he says to him, come out, thou bloody man. And he's ridiculed him. David does not stop him. Someone to go kill that Shimei. He later does die at the hands of his son Solomon. His friends, we find here, saw no hope. There's no help for him in God. Many there be which say of my soul. They don't see anything that's helpful to them. And I believe their enemies saw the same thing. And though they were not distressed, they were in a moment of excitement, for they thought that they were taking him down. But notice the last word in verse number 2. Notice that five-letter word, Selah. Interesting word. 73 times in the book of Psalms, you will find this word, Selah. And it's an interesting word. Nobody really knows for sure, but we believe that it's probably a musical pause where the emphasis would be heightened. When you speak or when you have music, sometimes just the pause, the crescendo that follows, it makes it so much greater. And it's almost like the Lord is saying in these times, think on this. It gives some moments to stop and to reflect. There's no help for him in God, Selah. Let's think about that for a moment. But we find David then responds with great confidence. Notice verse number 3 and 4. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. And again we find the word Selah. Now this shield that it speaks of in verse number 3, sometimes we find the Bible is called a buckler. And most often we find it was rounded. It wasn't just a flat shield, but it was rounded, which would cause greater protection. If you drew it close to your body, it would come more around you. And I believe this shield of God protects all the way round about. And God is certainly our shield. Amen. And thank God for the privilege we have in that. And so we find that as we go on to the end of that verse, it says, a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. With his confidence in God, there was no need of shame. There was no need to walk around with his head hung low. But that which would cause him to stand aright, knowing that God was going to restore his kingdom. That's the only thing I can think of. He says, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. And then with this confidence, he cries out to the Lord in an audible voice. You know, sometimes we pray, and we pray inaudibly. In other words, we pray silently. And there's a time for that, I believe. If you're at work and you're having some problem, it's good to pray. Amen? And you might want to pray silently. If you're in school and there's no talking in the classroom, it'd be good to pray silently. Amen. You might get in trouble. But there's a time to call out to God. Some people believe, I don't know, some people believe that if you speak in an audible voice, it's more real. I don't know that, but I see here it says, he cried unto the Lord with my voice, or I cried unto the Lord with my voice. But notice, here's the important part, and he heard me out of his holy hill. To know that God hears is to know that God answers. Amen? If God hears us, God's going to answer. And then we see another Selah. Pause, stop and consider this. How marvelous this is that he can have this beautiful confidence in the Lord. But we also notice something else. Notice verse 5 and 6. He says, I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Have you ever had sleepless nights? Has there ever been something that just kept you awake and you wrestled with that thing through the night? And maybe 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you finally fell asleep, and after a little bit, you woke up and was still on your mind heavily. David has just been ousted out of his kingdom, basically. His son has brought rebellion. He's left, in comparison, a handful of people. And what does he do? He sleeps. That's amazing to me. And he can rest. Why? Because he has confidence in God. Most of us, we would probably be in frenzy with worry. He's not in a well-cushioned bed like he'd been most nights. He's out in the field with enemies in pursuit. And yet he is able to lay his head down and says, and slept. And then he says, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. In other words, he got enough sleep. And God has revived his being that he might go forth. And so he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. We get scared of 2 or 3. Listen, the size of the conflict has no effect when God's involved. It doesn't matter how big it is. God is bigger. It doesn't matter how powerful it is against us. God is more powerful. And so he is one that says, I'm not afraid. Why? Because he's got a God that he has put his trust in. And then as we go to verse 7 and 8, it says, "Arise, O Lord, and save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Wow. Smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. You want to put somebody out of commission? Punch him in the side of the head. It's kind of got the picture here of that which, listen, Satan's as a roaring lion, talking about seeking whom he may devour. And the punch hits him in the side of the head, and the lion cannot hurt him or harm him. Matter of fact, we find he broke his teeth out. And that which can cause the damage is not there. He's as useless as a lion without teeth. Really. What a beautiful picture that is. And he says, salvation belongs where? Unto the Lord. Now let's understand something for a moment here. There's a group of people, I call them Calvinists, most people do. They believe very, very strongly that God is in control of everything, and he is. But they believe it to the point that he's sovereign and you get saved because he wants you to get saved, not because you have any free will in it. In other words, if you get saved because God wills it, if you go to hell, it's because God wills it. That's, by the way, it kind of leaves Jesus out of the picture, leaves the whosoever out of the picture. They come to a verse like this and they say, it's talking about salvation. It's of the Lord. Well, yes, it is. It belongs to him. But we're not talking in this case about Christian salvation from sin. But we're finding here something else. That which takes us through life's many and varied, various different battles. God takes us through. Amen. And his salvation, not from our sin here, but our circumstances, God is the one who can take us through. Okay? And how he does it is his business. And so David writes of this, and then he ends this chapter with another Selah. He's saying, we need to stop and really think about this. Why is it so important that he does this three times in this chapter? Only eight verses. I believe it's because you and I, we face many different obstacles. Sometimes they're in the home. Sometimes they're on the job. Sometimes they're in the neighborhood. I was going to say sometimes in Washington, D.C., but I'll leave that one out. But we find that there's problems that we face constantly, is there not? That we have to deal with. And so God wants us to understand from David's life, hey, there is victory through God. Call upon him. Get your confidence there. And realize it's God who's the one who can take us through. It's interesting to me that the saints of God, when it comes time for the Lord to take them home, there's some kind of a peace that comes over them. I've never understood it. I've called it dying grace. And God takes them through. You say, well, death's not going through. Yeah, it is. It's really going through. Amen. But God can take us through. And so you're facing things. Who doesn't? But God's the one who takes us through. And that's where our confidence needs to be. How in the world could David lay his head down and sleep? He made his complaint to God. God gave him confidence. And he lays down and goes to sleep. And he awakes refreshed, knowing that salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Marvelous, marvelous. I find it is amazing. And God takes care of it, takes his son out of the way, and restores the kingdom to him. And you and I have these words written for us tonight. Read them, allow them to sink in your heart and your soul. Psalm chapter 3, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much tonight that we have these moments together. Thank you for this great psalm, one that teaches us the confidence we can have in you through all the many things that come our way. Lord, how tremendous you are through all of these things. I pray that you might bless in each and every life and help us to grow in these kinds of things, that our faith might be greater with every obstacle that comes. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.